Thank you. Would you please register your attendance by putting your name in the little pad that's at the end of the pew and passing it down, and then you can pass it back and see who's here. Main Street United Methodist Church is a very busy church. I do hope that you paid attention to the newsletter you got this week. I have a couple of announcements I want to highlight and one that I want to add. First of all, we are beginning a prayer shawl ministry. And if you are interested in participating in this ministry, please contact Kathy Kelly that you want to come and participate. The very first meeting will be at 5 o'clock in the church library on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, the 20th. If you noticed in your newsletter, there will be no UMYF tonight or the Breakfast Club in the morning. Instead, they're getting ready for their Snow Mountain trip to Stone Mountain in Atlanta. That's next week on Saturday. In the newsletter, you had a yellow flyer. We ran out of yellow ones, and this one is white. It's about the mud pies, the enrollment period, and the consignment sale that they're going to be running. That will take place on February the 6th and 7th. Also on February the 6th and 7th, if you noticed in your newsletter and in the insert in the bulletin today, there will be a makeover by the master, a retreat, a women's retreat here at the church. If you notice on the schedule, it says Friday, February the 5th. That should be the 6th, and Saturday the 7th. Registration is only $20. That's the program and the meal. And I can assure you that Reverend Ray, Susan Leonard Ray, is a dynamic speaker that you do not want to miss. Also, you might want to know that if you're young at heart, that weekend is also going to be a circus weekend. So if you could come and participate, it's for children of all ages on Sunday the 8th, and there's information about that in your newsletter. And you might also want to note in your bulletin in the newsletter that we will be having a bring a date at the Methodist men's meeting. Some bluegrass and some spaghetti, I understand. And you will see those notices in the newsletter as well. Now, let us continue our worship.
Please stand for the call to worship as printed in the bulletin. God is calling, do you not hear? You're being called by name for a purpose. God, you have searched us and know us. You discern our thoughts from far away. Do not confuse the siren calls of the world for God's call. Do not confuse the values of this world for God's values. You know, O God, when we sit down and when we stand. You know when we lie down and where we go. Your words and your deeds are known to God. You were known to God before you were born. Your knowledge of us is more than we can understand. Your thoughts embrace us amid all you have created.
Morning. Please read together the invocation. We have come together, listening, God, because you have spoken your word of summons and welcome. We are drawn irresistibly to the promise of your presence and by the persistence of your call. Speak to your servants here in ways we can understand. We want to hear the message you intend for us. We want to listen, not because someone else needs to have it told to them, but because we ourselves are needy sinners. Your expectations of us are high and holy. We tremble before you, eager for the heavens to be opened in our midst for our transformation. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had become to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of the Lord had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he got up and went to Eli. "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." This is the word of the Lord.
I'm
The epistle reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 20. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and then the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord shall be one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not to own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Go to the Lord in prayer. We'd have a moment of silence, please. And then in our hearts, have the people who are out in all of this weather and not with us today, and consider all those and ourselves and our Father God. Please bow your head. Father God, we come to you today through Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit is with us, moving us, guiding us, taking us through our doubts, taking us through our trials, taking us through all things, Lord. We come to you in prayer, and we try to come to you in prayer every moment of the day in our heart. Lord, we know you want us to be in that kind of relationship with you. Father God, please hear us as over all these centuries we are still praying the prayer that your Son taught his disciples, as we are also his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Could the ushers come up for the offering, please?
you. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you have given to us, now and forevermore. We pray to be yours. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Morning, but that's okay. We're few and mighty. How about that? Okay, have any of you ever been picked to play on a team or picked for something at school that was special? You have? Okay. How many of you watched that show, The Price is Right? Come on down! You know they say that in there? Come on down! Well, we're going to do something like that today, okay? We're going to talk about people being called to do a job. So you listen very carefully. And if you're, and this goes for the big people too, okay? If you hear your category called, you need to stand up, okay? And you remain standing until all are called, all right? So, all the children of Main Street United Methodist Church, that's you guys, stand up. Stand up. Okay, cool, now you know who you are. Okay, good. All right, people who are 25 to 30 years old. We don't have that many. Okay, no, you just keep standing. Okay, people who drive Toyotas. All right. People who sing bass in the choir. Okay. People who have blonde hair. Oh, I messed up. But you have to have blue eyes, too. If you don't have to have blue eyes, you have to sit back down. Sorry. Okay. Okay, so you guys have all been called. So you are to report back here at the church at 1500 hours, that's military terms for 3 o'clock this afternoon, and you are to bring with you your time, talents, and resources because you have been called up to be in the army of God, okay? I don't know what happened to the rest of you. I don't know why you didn't get the call, but maybe if you work harder, you'll get called next time, okay? All right, so... Oh, have a seat. I'm so sorry. Oh, my word. I hate it when rude people answer their cell phones. Hello? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I understand completely. Yes, I understand. I'll take care of that right now. Sorry about that. I made a boo-boo. It wasn't supposed to be just people who had blonde hair or drove Toyotas or were children. It's supposed to be everybody. I messed up. Everybody is called by God all the time to do what he wants us to do, not just because you're little, okay, even though you're pretty special, pretty precious. And it's not these others, but it's everybody is called up to do his will at all times. So you're all called, not necessarily today at 1500 hours, but you're called every minute of every day to give your time. That means you come down and volunteer and do stuff and go to Sunday school and be good kids, right? And you give your talents. And that doesn't mean, you know, just because, you know, you don't have to sing or dance or something like that to be a talent. There are all kinds of talents. Sometimes it's just being a good friend. That's a real good talent. Sometimes it's because you can cook. That's a real talent that I don't have. So sometimes we just need to share those talents and then our resources. That's because we're supposed to give our money back to the church because we've all been called. Okay? So everybody hold hands with somebody. Can you do that? I know there's few of you and that makes it a little bad. Okay? People out there, can you hold hands with somebody? I do this every time. Do I make you hold hands? Or hold a sleeve if you're afraid. Okay? Hold a sleeve. And I'd like for everybody to repeat after me. Very good, Jimmy. Reach across. That's great. Okay. Here's our prayer, everybody. Our Father, thank you for calling all of us to your service. May we hear that call and do your will as a person, as a church, and as a nation. Bless us, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Now we have the time of passing of the peace, that ancient 2,000-year-old custom of greeting our neighbors, our friends, in God's light. Please do so for a few moments. Howdy. Gospel, John 1, is 43 through 51. Please read along in your pew Bibles or your own personal Bibles. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened up and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The reading of God's word for God's people. Amen. Perhaps a good way to understand this reading about Jesus and Philip and Nathanael is to put ourselves in their place. So, what if I said Jesus Christ has just appeared over by Captain Krusty's fish market? Come and see. No. Okay. Okay. But how was it back then? Back then, 2,000 years ago. This gospel passage is about a very long wait and a fulfillment. Messianic fulfillment is happening in this passage. The Christ has arrived. John 1 tells us the story. Our passage is about Nathanael sitting under a fig tree, perhaps waiting in anticipation, or perhaps satisfied with the status quo of Herod's Jerusalem under Roman occupation. We don't know. He might have been totally indifferent. Israelites of Nathanael's day were waiting for a king to take over the country and place a priestly authority in the Jerusalem temple. In Ezra's day in 520 BC, we read a lot of prophecy about such a person. After 520 years or so, Jesus appeared. Today, we are waiting for a complete makeover of earth and humanity. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because earth is broken and humanity needs to be fixed. Jesus was the reason Nathanael got up from under the fig tree. Philip delivered the good news and Nathanael responded. We have an awesome model in this reading. One person heard and followed right away, Philip. Philip took the time and initiative. Perhaps he heard the Holy Spirit to take him over to Nathanael under the fig tree and say, get up. Something big is happening. He's here. But it seems Nathanael despised Nazareth. Isaiah says the Messiah will be despised. Scoffing, Nathanael said, can anything come out of Nazareth that is good? Without realizing it, Nathanael had given an Old Testament description of the Messiah. Nazareth was a humble town of no consequences politically or socially or spiritually. If Nazareth is despised, then a Nazarene is despised. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he moved to Nazareth, if you remember the story, with his dad, Joseph. So, Nathanael scoffed about a Nazarene, a humble title. How can someone so royal as the Messiah, the King, come from Nazareth? That's exactly what Nathanael is saying. The prophets in the Mosaic Law said the Messiah would be of humble origins. But Nathanael must have forgotten that. We too must remember Nathanael's mistake every time we despise truth that might come from what is small and from what is humble. The conversation between Jesus and Nathanael gets pretty intense. It seems as though they were sizing each other up to me. Jesus identifies Nathanael by telling him he is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael already scoffs Jesus, the Nazarene, and then asks, how do you know that? That's a good question from a man in whom there is no deceit. Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree, is what Jesus replied. And then Jesus makes an extraordinary promise which calls everyone with Nathanael into an extraordinary description of Jesus. Jesus identifies himself and the disciples in the very near immediate future as people who will know God intimately. Extraordinary godly things are about to happen in this story in John, the Gospel of John. Same thing happens today when we go to God. Extraordinary things happen. We might not recognize it. We might not acknowledge it. But things are happening. Children enjoy the story of Jacob's ladder. Jacob goes to sleep on a rock and dreams of a ladder of communication between him and God. Angels climb up and down Jacob's ladder. Jesus says he too will have angels come and go and will be in communication with the Heavenly Father. Jesus' disciples will witness this sacred communication and know Jesus is who he says he is. True transformation from ordinary worldliness to extraordinary heavenly communication is about to happen to Nathanael and the others and to the world through them and Jesus. It is about to come to all of us. It is still happening. We are evidence of this right here. It is carried on. Blessed are we in 2009 who pray to God as if chatting on a cell phone with him. Nathanael met Jesus the Nazarene with an insult. Jesus said, "No deceit in Nathanael." How many times have we insulted the Lord? Out of our real hearts, not out of something just fickle, but we might insult the Lord. An ornery Nathanael met an extraordinary Jesus. Nathanael changed his mind quickly and positively transformed into a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. Have you ever heard the saying, perfection consists in doing the ordinary extraordinarily well? Maybe, maybe not. Let me repeat that. Perfection consists in doing the ordinary extraordinarily well. I don't know if that'll get through 101 Wesleyan theology about perfection, but that's what I'm using today. When I was working for Main Street United Methodist Church, helping work on houses a few weeks back, I met my old fear of heights. I was up a ladder 12 feet off the ground, and the wet rain made it slippery. My imagination and fear brought the vivid picture of me falling and hurting myself. It was only fear of heights. I have that. I'm kind of trembling up here. I prayed. I did the job. It was ordinary, perhaps, to my coworker, but to me, I was conquering fear with Jesus' help. Perfection helped me do something extraordinary. That perfection is Jesus of Nazareth. It was extraordinary for me. For some of you, I know, just nailing or screwing in 12 screws into a window, storm window, might not be that hard, but it got kind of scary for me. And then it got okay. Not to gamble, but I'll bet others have had the same story about prayers and fulfillment. Jesus promised Nathanael he would see angels ascending and descending, and that claim was about Jesus being God's king on earth. My getting over fear of heights was just a tiny, tiny little thing compared to the work Jesus began 2,000 years ago. But yet, I am a part of the bigness of it. And that is awesome to me. And I know it's awesome to so many of you also. We have to keep that awesomeness alive. Nathanael saw heaven open to humans. Keep the phone calls going into God's listening ear. Pray. Pray continually. For David Beasley, speaking to you today, that's me, I say, up on that ladder of my own fears, Jesus' empowering spirit went into my wounds, gave me courage, and brokenness was fixed. Just like Israel was getting fixed. Just like humanity is getting fixed. I am not really a brave man. I need Jesus. I am actually a broken man. Every time I go to my knees, I know it. About being broken, I'd like to read from one of my favorite songwriters and poets, Bob Dylan. Broken dishes, broken parts. Streets are filled with broken hearts, broken words never meant to be spoken. Everything is broken. Broken cutters, broken saws, broken buckles, broken laws, broken bodies, broken bones, broken voices on broken phones. Every time you leave and go off someplace, things fall to pieces in my face. broken hands on broken plows, broken treaties, broken vows, broken pipes, broken tools, people bending broken rules. Everything is broken. It's a sad song. It's a sad reality. Is everything broken? Broken people, a broken relationship with God came out of the perfect Garden of Eden. Israel, during Nathanael's time, was broken and in much need of God to work miracles. I see ordinary brokenness today. But I believe that we are being healed in an extraordinary way by the Son of God, who is teaching us love for God, neighbors, and even enemies, which is what Jesus taught Nathanael and the disciples. For 2,000 years, parents have passed those sayings, those laws, on down to their children. Another generation, children pass it on. Children pass it on. Children pass it on. It is the living word at work transforming us in 2009. It is the living word that is transforming the people on the streets, the hungry, the misfits, those who haven't even heard the call. And if they've heard it, they actually maybe need to have some warmth surrounding that call. We can understand all of this if we do things like join disciples' Bible study and read with friends. We can hold fast to love in the face of death. We can have the extraordinary power to help fix things in our government and in our neighborhoods and in our cities and in our homes. We can stand up for what is right. The Holy Spirit will pour out over our wounds and we will not be afraid. Stand up. The promise to Nathanael of angels ascending and descending of communication with God is a living, continuing promise. God gave us a direct cell phone to Himself when Jesus came. Use it. Pray. Dylan wrote, "Broken hands on broken plows, broken treaties, broken vows. But I know God offered us a healer in Jesus. See our brokenness in sin, repent, and go to work. Feel the work of the Holy Spirit, God's most awesome, awesome Spirit, filling you, healing you. The book of Joel says it will be poured out. It is poured out. Even now, even tomorrow, even the day after, we do know that. Have faith, hope, and love. Again, pray. Sacrifice our time and be ever mindful of others. That is the call to work as a servant. Our King Jesus even washed feet as a servant and became a royal judge sitting at the right hand of God. Being small as a little child is perfectly okay with Jesus. No matter how high we might climb in our social ladders, being as small as a child, honest as Nathanael, with no deceit, what good can come out of Nazareth? Whew. You know what good came out of Nazareth. Scripture says, "The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Psalm 51:17. I'd pray that all of us would put that cross in our hearts and walk with it. Pick up our own cross and do what we need to do. Thank you. Amen and amen.